Please welcome Honey French.
This is about a friend who taught me about a lot of things. And I started out being a secretary at 17 for the Department of Corrections. And I read case histories of terrible things that happened to men who were in prison. And because I had a traumatic childhood, I thought that could have happened to me if I took drugs, you know, and I could have easily gone into drugs just to escape. So I had it in my heart, I wanted to help somehow. But it didn't happen, and I married, was a mom, and then I started watching this program about Seven Steps. It was about ex-convicts helping convicts, but I couldn't figure out what I could do to help, so I didn't do anything. And I was going to a church, and I'd like to be friendly so people would come back, and I started talking to this young girl, this young woman, and I asked her what she does, and she was going to be a parole agent. So I told her about this program, and her husband was the executive director of that program in Sacramento. So she urged me to meet him and see what I could do to help. So I became a secretary one day a week, and now I realize, gosh, I was really dumb, and I could have got really raped, killed, because I would close that office up with these convicts, and I didn't know what they were like, and it was way upstairs on the third floor in the back end of the hallway, but fortunately, you know, everybody was okay. And then the executive director asked me if I wanted to go. He really urged me to go to the once-a-month meetings in the prison at Vacaville. And there's about 100, 150 inmates, and anywhere from 5 to 15 volunteers. And the inmates themselves would choose a man to be on the hot seat. And he could tell as much about himself or as little, and about his crime or not, but just what he was going to do different when he left. So we would ask them questions like, well, have you considered this if you did that? Because a lot of them don't think of consequences of their actions. That's why they're in prison. So I got to know quite a few of the men because there would be a social time afterward. And then the director asked if I wanted to help when they came out of prison, to find jobs and to give them rides to places. So I kind of became friends with this one man. I really admired him, and I learned about his background. And when he was a little boy, his mother remarried, and the stepfather would wake him up by throwing cold water in his face and literally kick him out the door to milk the cows. And would beat him up all the time. And then he did something because they were so poor. He took something and he was sent to juvie. And then all the kids, the nice kids, couldn't play with him anymore. So then he just kind of went off into a life of crime. And so he'd been in and out of prison. And this last stretch was like 13 years. So when he came out, he called it a concrete womb, and they make all the decisions in prison, so he couldn't make simple decisions. Like, he had to figure out how to get on the bus and go to the parole agent and do a third thing, and he was all upset because he was frozen. He didn't know how to make a decision. So I was able to help him, and just it was fun taking to the first car wash to sit, and he was shocked. He thought it was so much fun to see all the water on the car as you drive through, and took him to job interviews. And he was really a hard worker, and he was a brilliant writer. So the executive director had a reporter do a story on me, and it turned out really good. But then I introduced the newspaperman to Jean, because Jean could really write. And so Jean wrote three articles, and I wrote with him. He did the writing, but I just critique it, and we'd have arguments, no, that word should stay in, and no, it shouldn't. And it's just really fun when you write together. And he got $75, and this was back in the early 70s, and we said, well, that's kind of a little bit for three articles, but it seems like a lot for one article. We'll see if you get anything after you write the second one. So it turned out it was for the first article. But the sad thing, I learned a lot about the convict code. This is really old-time convicts. They're really different now. I was a correctional officer later, and the inmates aren't like that. Actually, the convict code had a lot of good points, but a lot of terrible reasoning that would cause them to end up back in prison. And it was really frustrating to see Jean be so bound by this. But in the convict code, while you're in prison, if you're, say, you only have 2 months to go and you're going to be paroled, but if your friend got in a fight with this other person, and then they were going to have a fight, and they were going to form sides, if you were his friend, you had to be in the fight, knowing it could cost you your parole. And the men would do that. And then I also went to this post-release class where the men would tell what was bothering them, and it was supposed to be privileged information, and nobody could take that information, tell anybody about it. And you'd see men make really wrong choices by just because of pride. They wouldn't back down when it was so easy when they were wrong, but they would because they have their pride, and it would cost them all kinds of hardships in the prison. And this one man said that he was in prison because he used to be an armed robber, but he was reformed. He wouldn't rob anymore. But when we questioned him, he finally admitted when he saw a Brinks truck, he literally salivated because he wanted to rob it so much. And that if he could get away with it, he would. So he hadn't really changed because he needed a heart change. He was just kind of controlling his behavior. But then my friend Gene, he was really working hard. He got his own apartment. He would be really doing good at his job. Then his friend, Zank, was going to parole, or did parole, and wanted to borrow his car. And meanwhile, Gene's car was just barely making it. It had a crack engine block. But if he nursed it and didn't go over 45, took the back roads and not the freeway, he could get to work and back. Well, his friend asked to borrow it, and he knew his friend was going to take it on the freeway. He knew his friend would go, you know, 65 or higher, and he knew he was going to crack the engine. But he said, if I didn't lend it to him, the word would get back at the prison that he wasn't a good friend, and his reputation was so important to him. He lent the car, his friend ruined it, and he had to get up an extra hour early to go to work by catching the bus, come back an extra hour late. And things like that, he would constantly make these wrong decisions. And I realized he had programmed himself to fail. And it's just one of the sad stories. There's so many, but there are many who do change and for the better and continue to. And I've helped many, many, many of them later when I became an officer. But I did that by introducing them to the Lord, and he was able to help them change because they needed that heart change.